fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
I'm Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, welcome to the Earth Day Monday edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And we hope you are able to get outside today, take a deep breath, and enjoy the sunlight. After such a busy sports weekend, we all probably needed a moment to pause and reflect, right? Well, here at the Sunny Side of Sports, we've got a big show to help with that reflection. For example, we have the news of the Terrence Crawford-Amir Khan title fight on Saturday night in New York. A lot of NBA playoff news, including the elimination of one team 4-0, and a slew of updates in European football from two of our all-star performers, my colleague Gwen Uten and our friend Prince Nesta. But first, let's get an assist from Samson O'Malley, who has this update on the CAF Under-17 Cup of Nations tournament, starting with the Group B results. And he also has a conversation with boxer Larry Akudayo of Nigeria, who has a European IBF welterweight title defense coming up soon. Welcome to the show, Samson.
Guinea emerged the Group B runners-up in the CAF Under-17 Championship in Tanzania to book a place to face Nigeria in the semifinals on Wednesday. Guinea thus picked Africa's fourth ticket for the World Cup holding in Brazil later this year. In the other Group B matches, Cameroon, already qualified, played a goalless draw with Senegal. Cameroon will face Angola in the other semi-final match that will come immediately after the Nigerian-Guinean clash. In boxing news, Larry Akundayo, Nigeria's number one boxer, has vowed to fight like a warrior in his next fight to make Nigerians proud. Larry Akundayo will be defending his European IBF welterweight belt, as well as fighting for the vacant intercontinental belt in the coming months. He says Anthony Joshua, the Nigerian-born British heavyweight boxer, has been an inspiration.
I've got the biggest support so far, which is the heavyweight champion of the world, Anthony Joshua. He knows what it's like with the politics of boxing, and he's been very, very supportive. And trying to spin the table, bring the titles back to Nigeria and defend it. Let's see how it works.
In tennis news, President of the Ghana Tennis Federation, Isaac Abuagia-Dua, has announced that about 30 participants from Africa and Europe will participate in the fifth edition of the Magdan International Tennis Federation World Tour in Accra. The competition, billed for Monday, April 29th to 4th of May at the tennis court of the Accra Sports Stadium, is open to all players and has a cash prize of $5,000 for the winner.
There are seeded players all over the world who are coming to grace the occasion, and we assure you of the best of tournaments that Ghana has ever hosted.
And now to athletics. Kenya's former Olympic 1,500 meters champion Asbel Kiprop has been handed a 4-year ban for doping, the Athletics Integrity Unit said at the weekend. The 29-year-old, who won 3 world championship golds, tested positive for the banned blood booster erythropoietin in November 2017. Asbel Kiprop has argued his urine sample, which was taken out of competition, could have been tampered with by his testers, who had tipped him off about their visit and taking a payment from him.
Remember my sample report, it says no result, you know, from the laboratory, from the WADA Adams report. So it gives me a no result value. And I'm being accused of an adverse analytical finding, which is, you know, which brings a lot of, you know, questions.
I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. We'll have some more boxing news for you in the later rounds of the show. But first, we'll catch up on some other sports news from Africa. Our friend Iron Mike Mbonye recently sat down with Lee Evans, who won a pair of gold medals in the sprints at the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. Mike talked with Lee Evans about some of the differences between the Olympics of the 1960s and 70s compared to today's games leading up to the 2020 games in Tokyo. Mike also asked Lee about what the Nigerian athletes need to do in Tokyo to improve upon the 2016 results. As you remember, Nigeria's lone medal was bronze in the men's soccer tournament. Welcome to the show, Mike and Lee.
It was different from now. Now they have a longer period of rest in between races. When I ran, we ran every day for 6 days. They don't do that anymore. So when it came time to even for the 400 final, I was tired. And then for the relay, 4x4 relay, I was tired. We were not as big as these guys these days. So I remember standing behind my blocks and my quadricep was quivering. That's a sign of fatigue because they ran us every day. The first day we ran one race. The second day we ran the second race. Then the next day we ran the final. Then the next day we ran the 4x4 semifinal. Then the next day we ran the final. So it was quite different from the way it's done now.
A lot of African countries are going to take part in the 2020 Olympic Games. And for some, like Kenya, Nigeria, and others who are good in athletics, that is where they get their medals. What's your take? What's your advice to these countries when it comes to track and field events?
Well, they should start training now. I know the Kenyans are training now, but Nigerians like to talk instead of getting things done. So basically, I'm disappointed in the way Nigeria prepares. Because I know what needs to be done, and I see how they do it, and it's lacking, very much lacking, and the results always show it's lacking, you know. So,
do you see some other African countries doing well in track and field in the 2020 Olympic Games?
Yeah, Tanzania would do well. A friend of mine is coaching there, and they made him national coach. The guy I went to university with, he's in Tanzania now. He's going to put together a team. Kenyans always put together as a good team because, you know, it's a running nation.
So you see no potentials in Nigerian athletes? You don't know most of them who are doing well out now in Europe now?
The ones that are running are students in the U.S. Some of the students in the U.S. should do well, like Okobari, you know, she always does well. But other than her, I don't know who else. And, you know, Nigeria has the potential to be number two in athletics behind the U.S. But like I said, they're not ready to do what it's done to be successful.
Do you see athletics taking the shine in the 2020 Olympic Games in Tokyo?
Athletics always shines in the Olympic Games. There'll be some new discoveries. When the U.S. and Jamaica always have good athletes, and the U.S. and the Jamaicans will be competing against each other, and they will prepare very well.
Thanks, Lee and Iron Mike. We appreciate hearing from a decorated track and field athlete like Lee Evans. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for the always decorated Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Next up, we welcome someone who always decorates my day with her great voice and creative audio. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Gwen's here with some candid reaction to the weekend's performance by Manchester United from an unlikely source, the team's own manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Following their 4-0 loss to Everton, Manchester United manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer sat down in front of reporters to apologize.
We've got to apologize to the fans because they were absolutely fantastic, and that performance is not good enough for a Man United team, both from all the way from me to players. And we know that we let the fans down, let the club down today, because that performance is difficult to describe because it's so bad. They beat us on all the basics, you know, long throw in, stick your head in, our own corner kick, they counter-attack, their corner, they're first to the ball, good strike by the way, the fourth one as well, there's many chances to get rid of that ball, stick your head in again. So we were beaten on all the things, all the ingredients that you need added to your talent today. And as I said last week as well, there's no place you can hide on the pitch. So that's just 85 minutes before we got a strike on target, which is not good enough. We know that.
And Ule is right. Everton was unchallenged throughout Sunday's match. They were up 2-0 at halftime and were never in danger of letting United back into the game. United have now lost 6 of their past 8 matches in all competitions, and Sunday's loss has all but dashed their hopes of qualifying for next year's Champions League. They are now set to face Manchester City on Wednesday, followed by Chelsea on Sunday. And Ule says winning those next 2 matches is critical if United hopes to place in the top 4.
In the short term now, we've got to focus on these 2 games. Massive games. If we win them too, we're still in with a chance, because I said 75, 76 points we need to get top 4. And we're on 64, 12 points to be won. So sometimes it sounds too easy to say, well, you have to look forward, but we cannot dwell too much on this. You have to, in the long term, we've got to look at this. But short term, we've got to look at City and Chelsea.
Ule signed on as Manchester United's full-time manager less than 1 month ago and inherited a team that has struggled since former manager Alex Ferguson's retirement 6 years ago. But Ule says despite their current record, he believes his team can work its way back to its former place as one of English football's most successful clubs.
If you want to play at this club, it has to mean more. And it's got to be, I've said it as well, I want my team to be the hardest working team in the league. That's what we were under Sir Alex. That's what we've always been. You've got Giggsy, Bex, Gary Neville, Dennis Irvin, whoever, the talent you've got, you've run more than anyone. Every single week at shift up and down that pitch for your teammates. And we have to stick together as a team. We can't change the whole squad but it's got to be one step at a time. And I've said all along, I'm going to be successful here, and the players there that won't be part of that successful team, but there are players there that, of course, many of these do have it.
United is currently in 6th place in the Premier League, 2 points behind Chelsea. Arsenal is at number 4 and Tottenham is 3rd. Manchester City sits in 2nd place, just 2 points behind Liverpool, who is back on top in 1st place in Premier League standings. And that is all from me. Dan, back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's quite a commentary from the humble Manchester United manager. That's a change from Jose Mourinho and Louis van Gaal, the 2 recent managers. We'll have more soccer news from Gwen this week, this time from the perspective of the women's players around the world on Tuesday's show. I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. And it wouldn't be Soccer Monday without this roundup of Nesta Nuggets from our friend Prince Nesta. Now, Gwen got us caught up on some of the frustrations in Manchester, and Prince will keep us on the pulse of the rest of the Premier League, along with other key developments in Europe. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Arsenal's bid for a top-4 finish in the Premier League suffered a major setback as Crystal Palace punished their sluggish display to claim a shock 3-2 win at the Emirates. The Gunners, who can also reach the competition by winning the Europa League, fell behind to Belgian footballer of DR Congolese descent Christian Benteke's first goal for a year before Mesut Ozil equalized early in the second half. Ivorian footballer Wilfred Zaha and James McArthur were also on the score sheet for the Eagles. Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang scored late in the game, but Arsenal couldn't find 2 more goals to extend its 10-match winning league run at home. Liverpool returned to the top of the Premier League with a 2-0 victory at Cardiff, which was secured in the second half by Jorginho Wijnaldum's strike and James Milner's penalty. The win gave the Reds a club record 88 Premier League points, beating the 86 managed in the 2008-2009 season, but there's still a first English title in 29 years to secure. Liverpool currently holds a 2-point advantage over Manchester City, who exacted some revenge on Tottenham for their Champions League exit after Phil Foden's first Premier League goal and the Citizens' 1-0 win at the Etihad Stadium. Richarlison, Gylfi Sigurdsson, Lucas Digne and Theo Walcott were all on the score sheet as Everton thumped Manchester United 4-0 at Goodison Park. United have now conceded 48 goals this season, their worst defensive tally in the Premier League history, and there's still 4 matches left to play.
Thanks, Prince. So Burnley travels to London to face Chelsea today. What do you see happening in this match? Will Chelsea find a way to put some wins together and get back to the Champions League for next season?
It's going to be a very, very tense match, Dan, since Chelsea are in danger of missing out on Champions League football for a second consecutive season, which hasn't happened since Roman Abramovich took over in 2003. Anyways, Chelsea will be boosted by the return of their playmaker Eden Hazard, having recovered from the knock he actually sustained on Thursday's Europa League. Burnley have also won just one of their 9 Premier League meetings with Chelsea, losing 6 and drawing 2. Chelsea will also be boosted by the fact that they're also on a 6-match unbeaten home run in all competitions, winning 5. My prediction for this match is that Chelsea is going to win it 2-1.
So, Prince, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was at a wedding in Chicago talking with some of my uncle's French relatives, and they were saying, there's no team in France that can compete with Paris Saint-Germain. They're like the Real Madrid or New York Yankees of the French Football League. But this year, even with the huge talent they have, it's been a struggle to clinch the league. Did PSG finally get the job done?
That's right, Dan. French footballer of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe scored a hat-trick to reach the 30-goal mark as Paris Saint-Germain celebrated winning the French league by beating Monaco on a day of tributes to Notre Dame Cathedral. The Parisians' French league crown was confirmed earlier when second-place Lille were held to a goalless draw at Toulouse. PSG's players wore shirts with their names replaced by Notre Dame in a game where forward Neymar played for the first time since January. Fourth place Marseille was without Italian footballer of Ghanaian descent Mario Balotelli in attack, but went ahead to keep alive its chances of finishing third in the French league with a 3-1 win at struggling Guingamp. Dutch forward of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay and Martin Terrier also found the back of the net in the first half, as Olympique Lyon returned to winning ways when they beat visiting Angers 2-1 to consolidate third place in the French league.
Prince, speaking of other powerful European squads, what's the word in the Spanish league? How close are Barcelona to wrapping up the season title? It looks like they're just a couple of wins away. And what about the race for second place between the two Madrid rivals?
Spot on, Dan. Barcelona will be La Liga champions by next weekend if they beat Alaves and Levante in the next 6 days following their 2-1 victory over Real Sociedad at the Camp Nou. Real Madrid also thumped Atletico Bilbao 3-0 thanks to a Karim Benzema hat-trick at home, helping the Los Blancos to close the gap on Atletico Madrid, who also kept their slim La Liga title hopes alive with a 1-0 win at Eibar. And finally in Italy, Cristiano Ronaldo made more history as he became the first player to win the English Premier League, La Liga and Serie A titles after Juventus came from behind to beat Fiorentina 2-1 to record their 8th consecutive title. The victory puts Juventus 20 points ahead of second place Napoli and means they have secured the title with 5 games left to play. I'm Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thanks for those Nesta Nuggets, Prince. It's always good to have you on the show. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sunny. So if it's Soccer Monday, it also seems like it's Boxing Monday, as we had some boxing news from Samson O'Malley and his report. I'm also here to let you know that Terrence Crawford of the U.S., defended his welterweight title on Saturday night in New York City's Madison Square Garden, where Great Britain's Amir Khan suffered a few big shots early in the bout and then retired from the match when he was unable to continue after getting hit with an accidental low blow in the sixth round. Khan was hit below the belt by Crawford, and by rule, he was allowed to take up to 5 minutes to decide to continue in the fight. But after only about 3 minutes, his trainer Virgil Hunter threw in the towel. Now, Khan was visibly bruised around his face in a post-fight press conference. Crawford said he wanted to get off to a fast start, and that showed with the knockdown in the first round.
We made sure this whole camp that we was going to start faster. You know, previous in a few fights that I always start slow, so we made it a point from day one. We're not going to start slow because Khan's a fast starter. We didn't want to give him no kind of confidence out the door.
Crawford said he didn't think his shot to Khan's lower body in the sixth round was that bad, and he was hoping Khan would be able to continue.
Well, I seen Amir Khan's face, and he was shaking his head, and I was getting disappointed the whole time because I knew that he was looking for a way out. Him and Virgil was having a conversation. I don't know what the conversation was about, but Amir just kept shaking his head, and I was like, oh, man, he about to quit. And I was right. That's what happened.
Khan said he was glad to get a chance to meet Crawford in the ring, and he has a new appreciation for how good he is.
Obviously, I could feel it in my stomach. I was caught with good shots in the fight, obviously. I just didn't recover from that last shot. But wish not take anything away from Crawford. He put on a great fight, and I mean, you know, it was a pleasure to be in the ring with him. I mean, he's a great fighter, and obviously, a lot of people. I give him a lot more credit now than now I've spent time in the ring with him. He's a very good fighter.
Those voices are Amir Khan and Terrence Crawford, and this voice belongs to Dan Friedel. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports, and I'm filling in for Sonny Young. He'll be back for Wednesday's show. Now, just a little time left to catch you up on the NBA playoff news from the weekend. Over 10 games starting on Friday night through Sunday night. One team is now on summer vacation. That's Victor Oladipo's Indiana Pacers, who lost in their series 4-0 to the Boston Celtics. The Portland Trail Blazers are on the verge of eliminating Paul George and Russell Westbrook of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And another team took a 3-1 lead. That was Klay Thompson and the Golden State Warriors. Thompson took a dip in the Pacific Ocean to cleanse himself of his demons before the game with the Clippers last night.
The Warriors are a win away from advancing to the next round after beating the Clippers in Game 4, 113-105 to go ahead 3-1. Kevin Durant scored 33 points. Klay Thompson made 6 threes to add 32. Stephen Curry battled a 3-for-14 shooting night to finish with 12. Golden State can end the series at home on Wednesday, but head coach Steve Kerr knows that won't be easy.
Can't be any let-ups because this group is connected and young and energetic and playing hard and well-coached. And so we've got to make sure we continue to lock in.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the Clippers with 25 points. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
So Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors took a 3-1 series lead over the Orlando Magic with the help of 34 points from Kawhi Leonard on Sunday in a 20-point win. And also on Saturday, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Houston all won their third games of their respective series. Giannis Antetokounmpo looks like he's on the verge of knocking out the Detroit Pistons. Both Milwaukee and Houston have a chance to advance to the second round with wins tonight. We'll have more on Tuesday's show. And that wraps up the Monday show, April 22nd edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger and VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, Africa. This is James Brotty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. The Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you. Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
What do Earth and planet Mercury have in common? Well, both are two of the solar system's rocky inner planets, and both also have metallic cores. While scientists have known for a while that Mercury's outer core is composed of liquid metal, they've only had a few slight clues that its inner core was solid like Earth's. Now, scientists are reporting that they have found evidence that the inner core of Mercury is indeed solid and that its size is close to that of Earth's inner core. It's said that Mercury's core fills almost 85% of the planet's total volume. By comparison, Earth's core, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, represents only 15% of our planet's total volume. To make their findings, the researchers studied data gathered by NASA's 2011 to 2015 Messenger mission to Mercury. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts covering African news. Tune in on top of each hour 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.
Thanks.